Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, good day, friends. So glad that you would join us on our podcast here for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's our hope that when you are listening to these podcasts, that you are indeed growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And again, we don't know if you're on your treadmill or walking around the park or driving in your car, or perhaps you are looking at shoes. We just never know exactly what you're doing. But we're so glad that you joined us. And of course, by we, I mean my good friend, my colleague in ministry, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald, the woman with the awesome shoes. How are you doing today, Stephanie?
I am doing great. I am loving life this summer. I was going to ask you, have you gotten to fish?
You know, I got to fish. Gosh, when did I fish last? I went probably like in April.
Oh.
And Karis, my daughter, and she loves to fish, and we went fishing together. Fine. And I think I went one other time, but right now my son Jonathan plays baseball, and those are always on fishing days.
So not as much fishing right now. But April's a long time ago.
I know.
For fishing.
I know. It really is. Yeah. And of course, when it rains and the, because I'm a farm pond fisherman, the ponds get flooded and fish aren't always biting. So when I've had time, it's rained. And now it's getting that time. So, it's hot. But I'm ready to do some fishing. We don't have a ball game Friday, so I may try to sneak away.
That would be awesome. We've had some pretty decent temperatures lately. So that'd be pretty awesome if you could.
Mm-hmm.
Catching fish is always a good thing. Okay. So this is exciting to be at episode 5 of Supernatural Power. Tell us a little bit about it.
Episode de cinco. I agree. This has been such a fun series talking about the supernatural power of God. And most of it, we have focused on the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mm-hmm. 9 gifts are listed there. And one of the things that we have talked about is that is not an exhaustive list. There are more gifts of the Spirit than that. We teased last time and said, hey, we're going to talk about some of those other gifts, and that's part of what our plan is to do today. But I think the starting place for us is, again, this whole idea of supernatural power. Let's go back and let's think again. You preached on this to kick off the sermon series we did. Let's talk about how does a person receive the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? How does that evidenced in our lives?
You know, one of the things I love about Acts chapter 2, when the believers receive the Holy Spirit, is that Jesus, right before he ascends into heaven, says, don't leave here until you get the gift. And to me, that is one of the biggest sentences in that whole passage, is don't leave until you get it. Like, he's saying, don't go do anything else until you receive this gift that my Father's going to give you. Because then he says, you're going to receive power when it comes upon you. And so one of the things we know is that everybody there was a believer.
Right.
And so we think about, well, what does that mean? It means that they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, that he saved all of us from our sins. And that, to me, is the ticket.
Right.
You're not going to receive the Holy Spirit without believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the reason that's the case is because what separated us from God in the first place was sin. And Jesus is the one who opened the door for sin to no longer have that power in our lives through his death and his resurrection from death. So it's his blood, the shedding of his blood, and God bringing him back to life that allows us to have access to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we talked about that Sunday in the sermon was that the blood has a purpose. Just like the blood has a purpose in our body to carry oxygen to the rest of our organs, the blood of Jesus really is the same way, that the purpose of his blood is to then carry the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, to the rest of the body. And a lot of times we just grab onto the blood. Like, we just think we're supposed to just accept Jesus Christ and then there you go. But really, it's accepting Jesus Christ that allows us to have the fulfillment of everything that God wants for us. That is to dwell within us. And that's what the Holy Spirit then is doing, is it's God dwelling within us. And even to say that out loud, I'm like, my mind is blown. that God would want to dwell within me. Like the God of everything that created it all.
I can see why God might want to dwell in you or dwell in other people, but I really know myself and I don't get it.
Right. I mean, when you really look at who you are, it's like, whoa, that's amazing to be able to say it. And yet there is nothing truer than that.
Right.
It is just simply true. And so Jesus opens the door for the power of the Holy Spirit to be alive.
Yeah. There were people there that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And when they saw these other people receiving the Holy Spirit, their reaction was, they're drunk.
They must be drunk.
Yeah, these boys have been drinking.
And I have to tell you.
These ladies have been sipping a little wine or something.
I have to tell you, I do think sometimes people think that of me. Because I'm so joyful.
Yeah. I don't know what she's having, but I'll take
but
a double.
I'll take that. That's right.
Which is a wonderful thing that the world needs more of. And
so
yeah, but you know, you're talking about how we just want the blood of Jesus. We just want the blood.
Yeah.
And that makes me think, yeah, because what so many people want is forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus wants.
Yeah, right.
Jesus doesn't want to just forgive our sins.
Right.
Jesus wants us to repent.
Yes.
And to turn to him.
Yes.
And he does forgive our sin.
Yeah.
But this gifting of the Holy Spirit is so much more.
Yeah.
Now we have the power to receive and live and sustain this new life. Doesn't mean we struggle with sin, but we now have a different kind of power. We're not just relying on ourselves because the Spirit's breathing life into us, and that's what Jesus promised he would do.
And so,
Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit now poured out on all people who believe, not like the Old Testament when only a few people received it for a specific purpose and a specific time.
Right.
Now, anyone who believes in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. And so when we think of, when does a person receive the Holy Spirit?
Right.
My answer to that question is the moment that you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, I had a seminary professor, so this is obviously why I believe this.
Yeah. Yes.
And you may have him because he teaches in your seminary now.
Oh, okay.
He used to say, when a person gets saved, that was the word he used, when a person gets saved, they get all the Holy Spirit they're ever going to get.
Wow.
That God doesn't just give you like 10% of the Spirit until you mature, and then he gives you another measure
That's
of that.
That's good.
That we really get all the Holy Spirit that we're going to get in that moment. So often what happens in our lives when we're experiencing these supernatural gifts, it's not a matter of me getting more of the Spirit.
Yes.
It can be more of a matter of the Spirit getting more of me.
Ooh, I like that.
Because now I am willing to let the Holy Spirit be unleashed, if that's a good word, or released in my life. You know, we desire the gifts.
Yeah.
But one of the things is if you're praying for a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you get that gift, at some point you have to exercise your faith.
Yeah.
You know, last week you talked about how walking, it's not just the ability to physically walk, but the whole journey of faith and how God helps us in our discipleship. If you're praying for that gift, then at some point you're going to have to do something, you know. You got to pick up your mat and walk.
Yes, you got to walk forth.
Go show yourself to pray something else.
I love that.
So those are things, you know, and again, I hope this is helpful for people. But let's talk about the evidence of the Holy Spirit-filled life.
Yeah.
Because there are some people, I don't know about you, I look at some people and say, man, you can tell they are tight with the Spirit of God.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And I just know that because there's something in them that I can see. We talked about know, say, and do, but now we're going to talk about, well, what do people see?
Yeah,
so
I love
you
that.
Want to comment on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think about the gifts, the supernatural gifts that we spent so much time over the last few weeks talking about, those are so important. But we also see in this it produces fruit.
Yeah.
And we can talk about from Galatians the fruit of the Spirit, because Paul is talking about the fruit of the sinful nature, because the sinful nature has fruit too.
Right.
Like, you're going to see the truth.
You know, a tree by its fruit.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to see the truth of who people are by what they produce. And so it's just a fact of life. And so the sinful nature has its own fruit that it produces, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has fruit that it produces. And those fruit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Woo!
I didn't even have to look at that. I know. We're high-fiving each other socially.
High-nining, nine
gifts,
or nine fruit.
Exactly right. So we love that, because who doesn't want all of those things in their lives? And the thing is that wherever God's Spirit is present, those fruit are also
exactly
present. And just like you said a minute ago, I loved how you said that it's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit, it's that the Holy Spirit gets more of us.
Right.
Because that is the ticket right there. It's the ability and the willingness to surrender our lives to God. And when we are willing to give up the things that we've held on so tightly to that don't produce in our lives good things, when
right.
we're willing to give that up, then the Holy Spirit gets more of us, and we get to experience all the benefit and blessing that comes from that.
Right. An example that comes to mind is we teach our children, you know, you need to be honest. You need to
yes.
tell the truth. And at some point, all of us struggle with, do I tell the truth
yes,
or not?
Right.
And when we choose not to tell the truth, to lie, to bear false witness, however we want to say it, that doesn't really work out for us.
No.
And that's what I would ask my kids. So you chose to lie.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work for you?
Uh-huh,
you know,
yeah,
they're always going to say, not so good.
It didn't work.
And when we look, and I think it's Galatians chapter 5 is where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. And right before that, it's got the hit list of all these sinful works.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I look at that. It's like, how's that working out for me? Yeah, not
it's
so good.
Not so great.
Not so good.
Uh-huh.
But when I really am connected to God,
mm-hmm.
it works out pretty good.
It really does. Yeah. Well, and you think about fruit like patience. My dad always used to joke with us. He'd be like, be careful if you pray for patience because you're going
to
get opportunities to show patience.
To practice patience.
Yeah. It's like, just watch out.
God, I want to be more loving. Huh. And a boogerhead comes into your life. You know?
Here's your opportunity.
I want joy. And here comes the joy sucker right there. Just suck the joy right out of you.
That is so true. But when you think about those types of gifts in our lives, the more we are willing to surrender ourselves to God, the more we will experience those gifts. And it's just important, because a lot of times, man, if you're trying to hold on to your own thing, you're not going to be very patient if
right.
you're trying to hold on to your own way of doing things. But if you surrender to God and you say, I give this to you, I trust you, then the patience will be a lot easier, because if you're trusting in God to do what he knows is best, then you could be patient all day long if you know he's going to do that.
Right.
You know, just very interesting.
Yeah, and the fruit of the Spirit are definitely evidence. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, didn't really talk so much about the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
In fact, when a person said, excuse me, I believe that God is calling me to be a pastor.
Yeah.
The number one question is, do you have faith in Christ?
Right.
But then the follow-up question is, what fruit do you have?
Yeah, right.
You know, where can we see evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life?
Yeah.
One of the things that we need to cover, because we've teased people about
this, we have,
maybe
yes.
some people have been curious about this, is when we looked at those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we said, but these aren't the only gifts.
Right.
These
yeah.
aren't the only gifts. And so I want to share some of these other gifts, and it's real easy to remember, because the list we've done, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go back one book in the Bible, the book of Romans, same chapter.
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12.
There we go.
And I'll just read this. This is from the New Living Translation.
Yeah.
In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you.
Hmm.
Push the pause button there.
Yeah.
Prophecy is one of the gifts of the power to speak.
Right.
And it's saying, and do it with as much faith as you have,
yep.
knowing that God measures us to us. Maybe sometimes we need extra faith.
Right.
Okay, push play, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
If your gift is serving, serve them well.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a teacher,
mm-hmm.
teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Actually, some translations will say if you have the gift of hospitality. Then do that. And so there's a number of other gifts. Mm-hmm. Some were in 1 Corinthians, some are not.
Yep.
So if you've been listening, man, I don't have the power to know. I don't have the power to do. I don't have the power to speak.
Uh-huh.
I have the power to serve. Honestly, that's a gift that humbles me because I believe in service. We preach, we teach, we try to model service. I don't know that it's my gift.
Right, I get it.
I look more at the gift of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people who say, I don't have the gift of leadership, mm-hmm. but man, you just let me show up and tell me what to do because they're gifted with service.
Service, yeah.
And these gifts are no less important than the other gifts. These are such important gifts for how we live our lives.
Well, and it reminds me of what you were saying a little while ago about, and it may have been even on our last podcast, but you were talking about how if you're going to ask for these gifts, then you have to do it.
Right.
You've got to do them. And that's what he's saying in Romans is if you have this gift, then do it. If you have that gift, then do it. And it encourages me knowing that the early church needed encouragement to step out and use the gifts, that maybe it wasn't always easy for them to use them either, because you really do have to step out and do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, this wasn't a Holy Spirit thing, but like when Peter sees Jesus walking on the water and he says, Lord, if that's really you, ask me to come.
Yeah.
The Lord says, cool, Peter.
Come on,
you know,
out.
Come on. And, well, if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to take that step.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really so much of how we live.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share another place.
Yes.
And I don't really call these the gifts, although they are. I don't really call them fruit.
Yeah.
I typically refer to these as the offices of ministry.
Right.
And this is actually from Ephesians chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
and part of what Paul is doing in this is he's trying to remind these Ephesian believers we're all one in Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that unifies us, and he calls them gifts here, so that's why I share them.
Yeah.
He says, now, these are the gifts God gave to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Very important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
These are not gifts given to an individual.
Right.
You know, tongues. You bless yourself if that's how you pray. This is a gift given to the church, to the body of Christ. And he just lists them very quickly. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much more. I'll
stop
because I can get lost. It's one
so
of my favorite passages of scripture. But when we think of, you know, Billy Graham, he was a gift to the church.
Yes.
He was an evangelist, par none. And one of the things I would say is, here's a way, let me share a testimony. Here's a way you can tell the difference between a person who is gifted as an evangelist versus the person who, according to Acts, has been given the power of the Holy Spirit to witness.
Yes, right.
And this actually happened to me several years ago. My best friend, Brad Humphrey, is an evangelist.
Yes.
Now, he served as a pastor for years.
Yeah.
Brad is an evangelist. Uh-huh. God has given him a gift to just connect with people's hearts and really talk to them about faith in a way that helps lead people to faith in Christ.
Wow.
He and I were we were both campus ministers at the time, and we were in Atlanta at a conference called the Ivy Jungle Campus Ministry Conference. And Brad and I have this mission in life that we have to go to a restaurant and eat the chips and salsa.
Yes.
And so here we are sitting in this restaurant, drinking our Diet Coke, you know, eating our chips and salsa. You know, our server came over and we said, we're not here to eat. It's too early. This is what we're going to do. But don't worry. We're going to take care of you. We don't want you to think that we're just going to take up your space and not make it worth your while.
Yeah.
And as we were sitting there, you know, the guy would come by. Hey, y'all need more chips. Hey, you need more salt. You need a refill on your Diet Coke, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the more he came back, the more he was just drawn to Brad.
Oh, interesting.
And Brad would all of a sudden, they're talking about life.
Wow.
They're not talking about my need to have more Diet Coke.
That's right, come on.
My cup runneth empty. And I just sat there and watched as this guy was locked on to everything Brad was saying. And when we were walking back to our hotel, I said, Brad, you could have led that guy to Christ. Mm-hmm. And he smiled and he said, if I would have had a chance to follow up with him, if I'd have had a chance to disciple him, I would have.
Wow.
He goes, but I didn't know where to send him, and I didn't want to have him pray a prayer and then lose touch with everything.
Wow.
Brad was an evangelist.
Yeah.
I have power to witness. Brad was an evangelist. Uh-huh. And so these gifts of the Spirit, you know, they're just so important. And the church flourishes when all those gifts are there and all those gifts are being used for the glory of God.
So true. It just makes sense why God would do that, because it glorifies him and edifies the church. It's just so good. So here comes a question. Are you ready for a question?
Quiz?
Well, oh, sort of. This is a little bit more like an essay test.
Good. I can talk a lot.
Well, there you go. So the big question of the day is, can one lose the Holy Spirit?
That is an incredibly important question.
Yes.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
Oh, no. I threw it out there for you to answer.
You're not wearing good shoes today.
I'm wearing great shoes.
Okay. So, biblically, can I lose the Holy Spirit? This kind of teaches again what we taught in the first episode of this podcast series. There's a difference between the Old Testament experience believers had and the New Testament. That's why if you read Psalm 51, a psalm that was accredited to King David after his sin with Bathsheba, after Uriah the Hittite had been murdered. When David is praying, and this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he knows he's nothing without the Holy Spirit in his life. And his prayer is, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me.
Yes.
And so some people will look at that scripture and they'll say, oh my gosh, God can take the Holy Spirit away from me. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember when I was at ORU, we had a guy, he was coming and teaching, and he was really addressing the immorality that exists among college students.
Yeah.
And he would say, so this is why when you go out and y'all, you know, are having sex with each other, when you're done and you feel guilty, you have to pray, and you pray in tongues to make sure you didn't lose the Holy Spirit. You know, so there is that thought. That's why this is such a good question.
Yeah.
However, if I am given the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit gives me power to overcome my sin, I do not lose the Holy Spirit just because I commit a sin.
Right.
I still have Jesus living in me. This is a struggle that Paul addresses. Yes. You know, I do the things I don't want to do.
Right.
I don't do the things I should.
Yes.
But he never says, so you better start doing the right things, or you're going to lose the Holy Spirit.
Right. No.
No. Christ has conquered that, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit to root sin out of our lives.
Yes.
So in that sense, we don't lose the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I would just completely agree with that. And I think, you know, it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome sin anyway.
I mean,
there's just no other way around it. But I do think that there is this issue that really many Christians face and really has weighed heavily upon my heart as a pastor, is that a lot of Christians, having access to the Holy Spirit through their faith in Jesus Christ, tend to quench the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they tend to suppress it. They tend to not surrender themselves to God. And in that, the Holy Spirit doesn't get as much of them, just like you were saying a minute ago. And so while it is such a blessing that God will not remove his Spirit from us unless we deny him.
And I think that's the rest of the equation. Can I lose the Holy Spirit? My answer tends to be no. I think we can forfeit the Holy Spirit.
I think we
can
too.
And the only way we forfeit the Holy Spirit is if we forfeit our allegiance to Jesus and we forfeit that gift of salvation that God promises.
Exactly, exactly. Which again comes back to our free will. God gives us the choice between the two. But I do think that this idea of quenching the Holy Spirit or really suppressing it is something that we probably all need to evaluate in our lives, because you know, the world won't get to experience the grandness of the Holy Spirit through you unless you allow it.
Right. You know, in moments of joy mm-hmm. and exuberant faith and warm, fuzzy feelings of being in worship with the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
we might say, God, I'll do anything you want right. me to do. And what if all of a sudden God says, okay, yeah. this is what I want you to do. And we're like,
oh, didn't sign up for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's that going to work? So yeah, we quench the Spirit. I'm not going to say that I've not quenched the Spirit
sure.
in my life. And the basis of that is fear.
Yeah.
Either I'm afraid that, God, you told me to do this, and I'm going to look like an idiot,
right.
and I'm going to be embarrassed,
right.
and people are going to tell me I didn't hear from you, you know.
Right.
But losing the Holy Spirit,
mm-mm.
no. God's got too much invested
yes,
in us.
Exactly.
You know, He bought it with His blood. He's not going to take the oxygen away from us.
No, that's exactly right. I love that. It's so, so good.
Well, again, I hope this is helpful. Do you have any closing supernatural power, Holy Spirit hints that you want to share with us?
Well, I would just encourage all of you who are listening today to continue to explore who God is and the power that His Holy Spirit has in your life. If you are thinking to yourself today, man, I wonder if I'm one of those people who has quenched the Holy Spirit or who has suppressed the Holy Spirit, the only thing you need to do is just continue to get to know Him better. Because
right.
the better you know Him, the more of Him you're going to want in your life. I have no doubt because I know it from experience. So I would just encourage you to continue in your relationship, getting to know God better.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome indeed. And friends, that's what we hope these podcasts do, is that they do help bring us into closer fellowship with each other and closer fellowship with our Savior mm-hmm. through that Spirit-empowered life. As always, in the midst of this pandemic we've been experiencing, let's just continue to pray for healing.
Yes.
Let's continue to ask God to provide that vaccine, lead yes. people to help us find a cure. Let's pray for those who are sick and expect mm-hmm. God to do something miraculous. In fact, I haven't heard any testimonies of that, but I don't doubt that we're going to hear
right.
them. Know that here at St. Andrews, our vision is to be a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith. We would love to hear from you and know if this is a blessing to you or not. And if not, we're just going to believe by faith that God is blessing your life. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again soon.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless.